You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, Jalen. First time in your career, team's accomplished 60 wins. What does that mean along with best record in the NBA clinched?
It's an honor. It's a blessing to be on a 60-win team. It's a lot of hard work that went into that, especially after, you know, coming up short last season, you know, responding and coming back and not skipping any steps. So I think we're on track. 60 wins. When the playoffs start, it's back to square one.
I think these late night podcasts hit a little different, man. It's the College of Street podcast. I'm Joseph Pavone. Joel Pavone's here. No Sean Dutra.
What up?
I guess he didn't want to stay up, but we're gonna make this work. I mean, look, Joel and I have been catching up so long that it's turned into like a late night episode. At least it has that feel on this side. I don't know how it feels for you guys, but just a little context for you guys. You know, plenty to talk about in the sense of what the Celtics have been doing lately. Obviously securing that number one seed in historic fashion.
Hold on.
Celtics fans ready to the playoffs at this point.
We're not going to talk about UConn? No?
No, we're not doing that.
All right.
We're not doing that tonight.
All right.
But I mean, shout out to those guys.
I mean, congrats to them, you know?
Yeah, I mean, shout out to them.
I don't know if Al Horford's happy about that, but yeah, shout out to them.
Yeah, I love how they had Al Horford in the intro for the NCAA national championship. Because, yo, don't get it twisted. My man is a two-time champion, back-to-back. Florida Gators. I'm doing the Gator clap as much as I can right now while holding this microphone. But, yo, that was a squad, man. Al Horford, Corey Brewer going up against
Joakim Noah.
Ohio State. Joakim Noah going up against the last one, at least, right? Michael Conley and Greg Oden. When Oden was that dude. Good times, man. Good times.
Back when it was Michael and not Mike. Yes.
I just love that they have someone like fairly recent, because it was just like Magic, and then it was like, oh, these classic players. I'm just like, these kids don't know about the Magic and Larry rivalry, man. I mean, it's worth mentioning, but we got to have a little bit of everything. So shout out to Al Horford, and obviously as the host of the Causeway Street podcast, I'm thinking to myself, yo, Al's got another postseason on deck, and I can't wait to see what that looks like. I can't wait to see what the rest of this bench looks like. But the way Kristaps Porzingis been playing lately, man, I'm telling you.
It's, 17 years later, but yeah, go ahead.
It's worth mentioning. You know what I mean? No, I mean, like, for Al, to me, the reason I say that is because it's like a full circle moment in a way, right? Definitely. Like, while he's recording that, like, that's got to be, it's got to be pretty cool. If you think about where he's at in the stage of his career and where the Celtics are at, you know, and how he has a solidified role in this team, even at his advanced age, if you will.
But that's what I'm saying. You know, like 17 right. years, you know, his senior, and he's still doing his thing.
Right.
Yeah. You know, on a championship contender, you know, so yeah.
So I can't wait. I mean, obviously we still got about 4 games left, but one thing I want to get into at some point in this episode is, comparing how this team looks to the 08 Celtics. And we'll get into that a little bit later. But
okay.
Like I said, man, the Celtics team continuing on this roll. But how are you feeling about just their overall chances in the playoffs? And what I mean by that is, like, are you putting stock into Kristaps Porzingis going off the way he's been right now? I mean, Eastern Conference Player of the Week and, you know, someone who has very – like little, doesn't have much of any playoff experience.
Very little experience. Yeah,
very exactly. Like first round knockouts.
Are
in his rear view.
Yeah.
And I always say there isn't another player on this Celtics team happier than Kristaps Porzingis. And when people were first finding out about this trade and going into the regular season, like, well, how many games did he play? My magic number for this dude was 50.
Yeah,
50 games, and I would have been happy with that. And to see him play more than that, and to see him go on this, like, this momentum, to pick up this momentum at the right time going into the playoffs, man, I think it's huge for this team.
No, he's bought in. He's bought in. The moment he got traded, he bought in. Like, before they told him what his role was going to be, he bought in. Mm. Like, whatever you want him to do, He's doing it. You know.
Of course he did. He was playing for Washington last year.
You know. Jesus. You know, he's got nothing good things to say about Washington, by the way. Right? More so than he did about the Mavericks.
They trade him to Boston. God damn it. Thank those guys.
More so than he's done about the Mavericks or even the Knicks. You know, that seems like it was so long ago, but.
Yeah. When he was stuck in NBA purgatory. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, of course. And,
he's like, which way am I going?
I mean, for lack of a better term, like he could be the X factor, right? When it comes to the postseason, not much experience in the postseason. He'll be the first one to tell you that. But the way the Celtics, especially as of late, have involved him in the offense, and he has shown you what he can do, obviously, on the defensive end, blocking shots, grabbing a bunch of boards as of late, especially the offensive boards. And he's showing you that, yo, whatever you need me to do, I'm going to do it. And he's not going to question it. He's not going to be like, nope, that's not what I don't want to do that. Or no, his trust in the Celtics coaching staff and his teammates have, you know, been the biggest part of his success this season, right?
Yeah.
Easily could have been an all-star this year. When's the last time, if ever, I don't have it in front of me, but has he won player of the week? You know, like that's, like when that came out and you're thinking, oh, of course he's been killing it for the last 7 days with either Jaylen Brown being out or Jason Tatum being out. He's been playing.
Right, which is encouraging because, you know, he missed a handful of games. People worried about the hamstring. You know, it's like, oh, here we go again with Kristaps Porzingis. But I'm looking at it as like, well, this is a good time for him to recover and then go right into the playoffs with at least 3 or 4 games under his belt. And he was ahead of that.
Not only that, but like being somewhat the focal point of the offense. Like Joe's got that luxury right now to tinker with the plays on the offensive end, lineups, and it's like, yo, let's get Porzingis ready. This is gonna be the first time he's been in a postseason since the bubble, I believe, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're talking about 4 years removed. You're not just playing with one superstar, you're playing with two. You're playing with, you know, multiple. Even though White didn't make the All-Star team, you know, Holiday was coming off an All-Star year, you know, last season. So you're playing with a deep roster, and he doesn't care if he's the third, fourth, fifth option. He doesn't care.
Right.
He's ready, and what better way to, you know, wet your beak in terms of going into the postseason, hopefully a deep postseason and into June than to do it right now with this squad when it comes to Porzingis.
And Porzingis becomes the fourth Celtics player this season to win the NBA Player of the Week award. The other three, as you can imagine, is Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Derek White.
Multiple times. All those three.
Of those guys. You know what? That's why I said as you can imagine, but I should have, like, if you're listening to that, you're thinking I'm just talking about Tatum and Brown, but I'm talking about Derek White as well, man. Like, what a hell of a season. I mean, all four of those guys, you can easily make a strong case that they just turned in they're about to finish off the best seasons of their career.
And they're playing for the reigning coach of the month and Joe.
And they ain't even 30, Joel. Damn. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but man, if this team can get it done this year, man, we're definitely talking about potential dynasty, but I don't want to get ahead of myself.
Yes, yeah.
But I just think it's one of those situations where we're going to look back on, regardless of what happens in the postseason, right, and be like, that was a historic run. Maybe we should appreciate it a little bit more, no?
Yeah, no, definitely, because, you know, we're starting off this episode talking about Porzingis. We haven't really talked about it other than probably the beginning of the season. Porzingis is here for the next few seasons.
Yeah.
It's something that, like, oh, we have to extend him. No, he's extended already.
Right.
All right. So, like, they're in a good spot. Like, the Celtics' top three scorers right now are here for the immediate future and at least the next few seasons. So, with that being said, Celtics are obviously in a great spot. They've wrapped up the best record in the league. So, when you got home court advantage throughout the playoffs.
Huge advantage.
That's huge. Yeah. That's huge. And
especially when you're in the Eastern Conference near the Celtics, right?
Yeah. Most definitely. Like, they're 15 games up right now as we're recording this podcast on the Bucks.
Yeah.
They're in a little bit of turmoil right now when it comes to old friend Doc Rivers. All of a sudden, it's Doc Rivers' fault, but, you know, it's neither here or there when we're talking about the Celtics. Obviously, they're not concerned with any other, like, outside noise. Jalen said it the other day. We accomplished what we were, you know, set to do in the regular season. Now it's about the bigger picture, right?
Right.
So the 0-18 gets brought up a lot because of the record. The similarities there, a lot of blowout wins, and you know at that time as well, a lot of Geno being played at home.
Oh yeah,
a lot of you know fourth quarters,
a lot of laughs on that bench.
Oh hell yeah!
Shout out to KG.
Yeah, so you asked if there's a comparison between that team and this current team. It's tough because the 08 team. You know, the big three of Paul, Ray Allen, and KG, they had already been through the playoff battles on their respective teams where they were the number one, you know, option. They were the guys, right? And KG and Ray would be the first ones to tell you that, no, you know, this was Paul's team, right? When we, all three of them got together, you know, they knew that this was Paul's team, but at the same time, they don't care about their numbers. I'm not saying that this team, this Celtics team, do they care more about their numbers versus that team, but it wasn't as much success that they had gone through, the 08 team, like Tatum and Brown have gone through in terms of getting to the Eastern Conference Finals multiple times,
right,
earlier on in their careers, playing with, you know, veterans like Paul, Ray, and KG. They were the veterans. And that team was veteran heavy.
Yeah.
This time around, you only got Holiday, who's the only, you know, champion on this team. But I don't know. I want to say that the 08 team was hungrier. And not to say that this team is not hungry either, because they've, you know, Tatum and Brown, they've been to the finals once. Those guys in 08 had never been to the NBA Finals ever.
Yeah. I think there was a respective hunger between those three guys because they had been in the league so long, because they were essentially established future Hall of Famers already when they came together, that it was sort of like, okay, like, we all know what we can do individually. Yeah. Let's put it together. Let's figure this thing out. And let's win this championship soon, because we don't have a whole lot of time. Whereas with this team, it's like, and you could feel it throughout the fan base, right? Like, this year has been historic. It's been incredible in the sense of how they've dominated.
Hell yeah.
But why does it not feel that way?
Yeah, because it's...
I'll answer it for you. Because they lost last year to the Eastern Conference Finals drastically after going down 0-3, coming all the way back, and you lose Game 7. You lost in 2022 when you got to the NBA Finals. And everyone thought that, okay, from here on out, they'll be back. They didn't get back there, right? Before that, 2020, lost the Eastern Conference Finals in the bubble. You know, you can even go back to 2019. I don't like to do that, but most people do. Go back to 2019. Oh, you know, second round knockout. Kyrie quit on the team. 2018, when no one expected them to reach it. They went to the Eastern Conference Finals, lost in Game 7 to LeBron James and the Cavaliers. 6 years later, it's like, okay, if this doesn't happen now, it wasn't meant to be. I feel like there's some of that pressure that these players, especially the Tatums and the Browns and the, you know, I want to say even like people who were here last year kind of feel it. Maybe not to the same extent, but they kind of feel it because, or if you were here, if you were on the team since 2022, like, you know, Derek White, maybe you kind of feel it as well. But it's just like, man, like, the city is eager for this. Not only to get back to the final, but just like, get it done. You know, this is a 6 year gap we're talking about since the first time they were, you know, 8 minutes away or whatever, when it seemed like they had a lead against the Cavs and they were going to beat them in Game 7.
When Tatum joked on LeBron and he didn't touch the ball again.
Never touched the ball again. Right.
But see,
rookie Tatum.
I'll say this, those teams that you mentioned, 2018, because of how that season started, Hayward going down, And then Kyrie, right before the playoffs, went down. It wasn't expectations as the 08 team, right? The 08 team, not only was their expectations with the 08 team, they got it done the first year. Took care of business. Obviously, you didn't want to go seven games with the Hawks.
Right.
You want to go seven games against LeBron.
Right.
But that was the case. With those teams, some of those teams, and I know we'll eventually talk about the first round with this current team, right? Who they could potentially match up with. But in 18, I don't think there was expectations. In 20, there definitely wasn't expectation in the bubble. I don't think there was.
No, there wasn't. I think it was more of a, okay, Kemba Walker's, you know, wobbling in there. He's not 100%. Gordon Hayward, we don't know where he's at.
Yeah.
You know, it was just more of a ride the momentum.
Let's see what happens.
You guys have been hanging out with each other for like 6 weeks in this bubble. Let's just see what happens. And man, they, you know, they had a heck of a series against the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah.
You know, won that in dramatic fashion, if you ask me.
They're defending champs at the time.
Right, yeah. Right. And when I say dramatic fashion, just like some of those games were just like, man, they were playoff classics, if you will.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
In terms of like just great basketball. You didn't know who's gonna win. And then, you know, they lost to the Miami Heat. But I just always felt like, man, these guys, this core at least, right? You got something here. And I think that's what applies to extra pressure, because it's just like, what is this going to happen? You know what I mean? If you're Celtics fans and if you're, you know, you've been covering this team for so long, this is the one season where you're like, whoa, there's the path. I see it. You know what I mean? Like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We don't know who's going to be waiting for them in the finals, but they should be able to get that to that destination.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean? Like, if I'm looking down the road, I'm like, this is, I don't even want to use the word easiest pass, but this makes the most sense that the Celtics would make it to the finals. Whereas other years, it was like, yes, but if they pass Milwaukee, yes, yeah, they should. But if they face the Heat, you know what I mean? There was always that but or that if. I don't feel that's the case this year.
Yeah, no.
And the Eastern Conference, that's not the case. Are there teams that can drag a series to six or seven? Absolutely. But if they lose against one of those teams in the Eastern Conference, this is a massive failure.
Yeah, no, I feel like since the 21-22 season, there's been that. Like, there was high expectations when they brought in Ime, when Brad stepped aside, when Brad, the first thing he does is pull the trigger on trading Kemba for Al Horford. It's like, no, we're going all in.
Yo, that's how you feel? All right, Brad. Shit, like, Brad's
exactly.
Not playing.
So
Brad's got some ideas. Yeah, that's a good
so
point.
So from that point till now, I can say without a problem, like, yeah, it's been championship or bust.
Yeah.
When it comes to this Celtics organization.
Right.
So here we are.
That's kind of where it started.
Yeah. Though. So here we are in year three of the, I want to call it the Brad Stevens as, you know, president of basketball operations era. This is season three. You got the owner or co-owner and Wick saying right after game seven last year, the Celtics cannot bring this same squad back. Like, something's got to give.
Yeah, he also has some choice words for the people in the locker room.
Something's got to give. Yeah. Like, so when you see the changes that were made and you see
Marcus, get him the fuck out of here.
You see, that was verbatim, by the way. That was what according to Sway.
No,
I'm kidding.
I literally, at the end of that, I said, that's not what he said.
But no, when you see the changes made and what we've seen, you know, now with four games left in the regular season, it seems like they panned out, right? But until they win a championship, obviously, it's not going to be like, yes, like this is, we're going to give Stevens a stamp of approval on big changes that were made. And we're talking about, you know, someone who was the longest tenured Celtic and Marcus Smart bringing in someone who has no experience essentially in the playoffs. And you pull off the championship this year, then you're going to be like, yep, it took Brad literally 3 years to do it.
Mm.
Yeah, no problems pulling triggers on getting rid of first rounders for a championship. Then you can say, maybe you can start talking about like this team being where you rank this team in franchise history as, you know, whatever. Cause people always talk about the 08 team and the 86 team, correct?
Yeah.
When you're talking about
around these parts, yeah.
Around these parts, exactly. So,
greatest Celtics teams, those are the two.
Those are the two, yeah. Right? I think even if the Celtics pull off what everyone is expecting them to do this year, where do you rank them? Are they better than the 08 team? Are they better than 86 team? Probably not. 86 team, right? But and I think even if they do win it, the 08 team could be a conversation to be had, but that's tough, though.
Right. I just feel like if this is that type of, like, championship window that we're talking about, which is what it should be in the sense of, like, and when I say championship window, I'm not saying you win it every single year. I'm saying, like, you're in the mix for, like, 2-3 years, you know what I mean, with the same group of guys. And obviously with Tatum, Brown, Porzingis, I mean, these guys are locked in contractually. So it's one of those things where it's like, okay, like, you don't have to worry about, like, oh, you might need another superstar down the road. Like that's the best part going into the season. You knew, like, this is it for a while. And it's a good thing, like, not in a bad way. However,
if we're two stars that are homegrown talent,
and freaking 25 still, according to some Celtics fans. But when you look at, I mean, if you're going to compare these two teams, I mean, there's one of the things that really stand out to me is just, like, and maybe you can help me out with this, but I don't want to say, and look, people can go to stats or whatever and fucking analytics or whatever. I don't know what they look like in 08, but just from the eye test, just from the general feel, one of the things that stick out to me, if I'm, like, comparing them, you know, side by side without with the blank playoff, you know, column for this year's team, right? Again, one of the things that stick out, that stands out most is, I don't want to just say defense, but just, like, that sense of urgency type of defense. Like, there were times throughout that 08 run where it was like the other team couldn't buy a bucket. You know what I mean? Like, I just wonder, and look, with this year's Celtics team, it's on the other end of the floor where it's just like, you can't stop this team for the next 5 minutes. Like, there's moments like that where it happens. You're just like, oh, they're going off. This is it, you know? And it doesn't mean, oh, Hauser has to make 4 3-pointers or whatever. No. It's just like, pass, you know what I mean? Like, the ball movement's on point. They're finding the open guy. They're tricking the opposing team's defense every time down. They're just in it. Everything's clicking. So in the same way that they're able to do that offensively, I feel like the 08 team could string together 3-4 consecutive defensive stops and say, this is it. You know what I mean? Like the comeback win in game 6. The comeback win in game 4 against the Lakers in 08, you know, in the NBA finals, or, you know, the overtime game against Cleveland, or shit, the loose ball between LeBron and Paul. You just knew Paul's going to win that. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, maybe that's the back deal, but, like, I just felt like there were times where the defense was so, like, it was like
locked in,
not only locked in, but it was like, how long is this going to last? You know what I mean? Like, like, you knew this team's not going to be able to score for the next 3 or 4 minutes. And it didn't have to be the fourth quarter, right? But it could have been enough that was the difference. You know what I mean? Like, that the opposing team never recovered from that. I don't get that sense of the Celtics. And I know they're one of the top-ranked defenses in the NBA. I get that. But sometimes I feel like they have a hard time stopping the bleeding. I feel like the Celtics in 08, it was rare when you saw that. It was really rare, and they usually retaliated.
Well,
they usually had a response.
It's like the big topic that's been talked about around these parts over the last month or so, right? If this Celtics team are not blowing out their opponent, and it's a tight game down the stretch,
flip a coin, man.
What's gonna happen?
That's my saying. Flip a coin.
That's what I'm saying. Well, like, what's gonna happen? Yeah. And so with the 08 team, you're right. If it was a tight game, there was 3-4 possessions where the Celtics was like, nope. Not up in here. Not up in here.
You just hope they would convert on the offensive end of the floor. And if they didn't, you're like, all right, whatever. But let's see what happens next time, because this other team is going to score right now. Like, you just knew. Like,
there's moments when you see that with this Celtics team, but the 08 Celtics team has that edge.
Yeah.
Call it mental toughness. Call it just toughness in general. Where it's just like, yo, we're locking you down.
Right. And having one of the greatest defenders of all time, Kevin Garnett.
Yeah,
that helps a little bit.
There's no guy.
Literally, he won the Defensive Player of the Year award that year.
There's not one guy in today's NBA that's like Kevin Garnett.
No, man.
Not a chance.
That's a good point, yeah.
Not a chance.
Draymond can try all he wants to. But it's not the same.
No.
It's not the same.
Not the same.
Yeah.
Not the same. So that's, if you're going to give an edge to the 08 team versus this team, there it is.
Yeah. Offensively, though?
Yeah.
The team is crazy.
I mean, but you got, if you look at it from a perspective of what team could potentially upset the Celtics, this Celtics team in the East, But at the same time, I can't 100% say they're going to sweep the first two rounds, right? Right. It depends.
Right.
Depends on the matchups.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, I'm not saying, like, if a team forces a game seven in round one, oh, this team is trash, throw the whole thing away. No, no, no. If they're going to win that series,
throw it out and try again.
Yeah, throw it out, try again. Yeah. Like, see you next year. No, no.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to still win that series. Whatever. It is what it is. You made it hard on yourself. You know, it's too bad or whatever. But my thing is, if you don't make the NBA Finals, man, you could go down as one of the most, like, disappointing teams in this era. Maybe not ever, but, like, in the last, like, I don't know, 10 years.
You talking about franchise or just in the NBA in general?
NBA in general.
Like the Phoenix Suns? Last year or the year before?
2 years ago? Were you talking about with the bubble?
No, no. The Phoenix Suns, the year after
the finals?
The year after they reached the finals, 2022. They had the best record.
Yeah.
They had the most wins that they've had in franchise history since 1993. You know what?
I think this would be worse, honestly.
Okay.
Because I've never, maybe you have, I don't think so, but I've never seen a team lead top of the conference the way the Celtics have been doing it this year.
Like, yeah.
Like, they hit double figures, and I was like, wow, that's impressive. They're at, like, 15 games
now. Yeah,
15
games right now, yeah. Yeah, as we're recording.
That is insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it doesn't even feel like that. You know what I mean? Like, that's the weird part of it.
It's crazy. You're right, because, again, without even looking at the standings, Celtics have 60-plus wins, and you have 2 through 7 in the East that are, like, 2 to 3 to 4 games apart.
Yeah.
And two or three 50-win teams out West. I've never seen that. Not in recent memory, at least.
Right. Who does that?
Where it's just like that much of a gap between teams. The first place team and then in the conference, right? Never mind like NBA overall, but just in the conference alone.
I asked Cedric Maxwell that question, and he was just like, man, we had maybe a 4-game lead on them damn Bucks. Like, you know what I mean? There's always someone breathing down their necks. And it was like, sometimes it was the Bucks, sometimes it was the Hawks or whatever. But like, that wasn't the norm. Like, that's
maybe the Celtics, super rare. Maybe the Celtics in 08 because they were the only 60 win team in the East that year. Yeah. Maybe in the NBA.
And they reached 66, yeah.
Because, I mean, I think the Lakers barely hit, you know, 50 wins that year. And they were like, what, the third seed? I don't think they were even the first seed that year,
no.
If I'm not mistaken. I could be mistaken, but yeah, I mean, you're right. If it's happened, it's been a long time since it's happened.
Right.
Like, not even, right. Maybe the Bulls, the 70, you know, 2-win team, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to look that up. I don't think even the, maybe the Warriors, you know, and 2015
Warriors, yeah.
Maybe them. You know what's crazy, too, that we're talking about this? I can still think of like 4 or 5 games that the Celtics should have won.
I know, right?
That they should have won, and they should have only lost, in my mind, you know, when it comes to some of these games, they should have lost only like 10 or 11 games.
Well, the 2015 Warriors, they had an 11 game lead on the Rockets. So they won 67 that year. So if the Celtics win the rest of their games, they'll be one game short. They would finish 66-16, which is the same as the 08 team.
What about when they won 73 games? Was that 2016?
That had to be the next year. Yeah.
When the Cavs came back from 3-1.
Yeah. So the Warriors, so that 2015-16 season, they had a 6-game lead on the Spurs, but yeah, that was the year they won 73 games. So believe it or not, the year before that, they had a bigger lead, even though they won a lot less games. That was the 2014-15 season when they had an 11-game lead on the Rockets, excuse me. So they still got them beat by 4 games there, but.
Yeah.
But that's the biggest lead I can remember.
Okay.
They had an 11-game lead at the end of the season.
Yeah.
At top of the Western Conference.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, in recent memory, like, we're talking about over the last, like, decade. This
stuff doesn't happen, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
You have to go back further prior to, like, the 90s to see it.
I wonder if the Bulls did it. That was a good call. You said, which one? You're talking about the 96
team. 96
team,
right? Yeah.
12-game lead on the Magic.
Okay.
So Magic's like every fucking
time. Yeah, I mean, 12 games versus, yeah, you know, 15, and they can still end up with, you know, even a bigger gap by the you know, the end of the regular season, which is crazy to say, is only 4 games away.
I know, man. This year flew by, man.
It did.
We say that every year, but this year.
No.
This year really did.
But when it comes to this Celtics team, post All-Star break, how many streaks have they had? Win streaks, I'm talking about. That, you know, you're
reach double figures.
That's reach double figures, and you're like, yo, like, they lose one or two games and they get right back onto it. You know, they get right back on the horse and blow out these teams, and, you know, they're doing it in record fashion. Especially if you're, you know, following Sean Grady, he'll update you that.
Right.
You know, down to the last minute.
Yeah.
So
he really will.
Yeah. That's what we've been saying, you know, over the last several months. Nothing left for the Celtics to do except win the damn thing.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, I don't agree much with what Perk has to say, you know, in general, but now him saying, you know, the Celtics will be judged on what they do in the playoffs. I mean, he was saying that back in fucking November, but now I could say, yeah, they're going to be judged on what happens in the postseason, because
you're like, yeah, no shit, Perk.
I know, right? Now it's no, because when they win these quote statement games,
mm-hmm,
or they haven't beaten anybody, in his opinion, right? In his mind, when they would do that, especially in, you know, double figures or 20 point, whatever. Oh, it's not what they do in the regular season. Okay, all right. So they shut you up, but yet, okay. But now I can agree with that. With that statement, the playoffs obviously is where you make your money, right?
Right.
ask Kelly O. He'll tell you. But
he's like, yo, that's facts. As he puts his hair in behind his ears.
With the fax machine emoji. Yeah, facts. Yeah, the knock on the Celtics is how many times they're gonna make the Eastern Conference Finals. Yeah, they made it to the finals once over the last 14 years, right? Because 2010, they did it in 2022. Here we are in 2024, if I'm doing my math right, you know, it's Causeway. So even if they make the finals and they don't win it, it's a failure, in my opinion. It's a failure. Even if you go to game 7 and you lose on a fucking buzzer beater by whoever, it's a failure. It's a failure because, yeah, oh, yeah, they won, you
Jokic.
Know, they won one more game or oh, two man. More games. Oh, no, one more game than they did in 2022. But that'd no, be, it, you know, it's a failure.
That'd be devastating.
Jokic, that's devastating, bro.
Jokic for the win, game 7?
I mean, assuming that Denver gets there, right?
Man, they're going to get there.
I don't know, man. Sometimes I feel like
Clippers.
When you look at the West,
got a chance, but they got
no, when you look at the West, that tight race out there, whether we're talking about the top 4 teams or the bottom, you know, 5-6 teams. One of those teams catch lightning in a bottle, minus the Nuggets, right? One of those teams catch lightning in a bottle, you never know.
OKC, maybe.
I'm not a big believer in OKC.
Yeah. Why? Why is that?
Why is Shea missing these games?
Because he's the MVP candidate and he's trying to preserve himself. No, I don't know.
I don't know. You know, he's still eligible.
That's not my guess.
But when it comes to the, you know, the criteria for the end of the season awards, he's played a lot more.
No, I know.
65 games.
I'm joking around. I just think it's one of those things where you're trying to save him for the playoffs.
But this would be the first time that OKC is making it to the postseason without having to worry about the play-in.
Mm.
Okay? Minnesota's another team. I don't know about Minnesota. I don't. Cat injury. Well, that's been downplayed a little bit. You got, you know, Anthony Edwards is he's still relatively young. Doesn't have much playoff experience.
Yeah.
If any, really. You know, the play-in a couple years ago. They lost in the first round last year, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and those teams have room to grow, and they'll be relevant if they keep the core and add some other pieces. They'll be relevant for years to come. So there's no rush for them to win it all or go deep into the playoffs. There is a rush for a team like the Celtics. There is a rush for a team like the Clippers. They're aging slowly, but they're aging. there's a rush for Golden State. They still think they can squeeze one more out. The Lakers, obviously.
Foolish.
Right? The Lakers, obviously, if they don't make it at least to the Western Conference Finals, that's another failure for them. Can't take, 6 months off again like they did in 2020.
Right.
That's not going to happen. So, and then you got those teams in the middle. The Dallases and the Sacramentos and the who else? Who else am I missing there? I feel like there's one more team I'm missing in there. Oh, Phoenix! Oh, fuck! How can I forget Phoenix?
They're pretty forgettable. I don't blame you. I don't blame you. Don't they have a super team over there?
I thought so.
What happened?
I thought so, but
they never played. I think
that's what's crazy? Their big three has played how many games?
Like 12, I think.
Okay,
I can look it over now.
Let me tell you something about the Celtics and their starting lineup, right? That's the best starting lineup in basketball. You know how many games they played together this season? 35, 36, roughly. No one talks about that, though. So it's doable if you have the right mix or have the right, I don't know what to call it, the it.
How many did they play, you said?
The Celtics?
Yeah.
I feel like it's like 36, the starting five. Like their last winning streak.
So Durant and Beal have played 37 together, but the three of them, it's a lot less.
Of course it is.
So right. The highest combination of the three is those two, and it's 37.
So the three, I feel like they've only played, it's been less than 20, maybe 20. Like the Suns holding it together has been because of KD.
No, it's been, I think it's been closer to 20.
Okay.
Yeah. So. I mean, I'm trying to find, I'm looking this thing up right now and it's showing me like the last 10 games and it goes back to like mid-March.
Yeah. The Celtics, their last win streak, which was what, at 9 games?
Yeah.
Before they lost, to Atlanta twice. There was 8 different starting lineups for Joe Mazzulla and company. Mm-hmm. 8. And they won those fucking 9 games in a row. So I don't want to hear that as an excuse. Like, oh, they only played, a certain amount of games together. When it comes to the Suns or whoever. No, man. Like, it's crazy when you think about it. In the grand scheme of things. When you think, so, I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that, by the way. But when we were talking about, like, because I started talking about the West and the Celtics really just have to worry about the East right now, right? Because, we're talking about 3 rounds that you got to go through. But if you want to talk about who can their potential first round matchup be, you know what? I fucking hope and I wish, I don't want to say pray because that's, I pray for other things, but I hope it's the Miami Heat.
Yeah, me too, man.
I fucking hope it's the Miami Heat. Not because I'm like, oh, I'd be, as a Celtics fan, right? Talking from that perspective. Oh, you get rid of them. You don't have to worry about them, second round, third round. No. I hope it's the Miami Heat in the first round because just like I mentioned earlier in the episode that the championship window has been since, the 21-22 season. So since that time, this would be the rubber match. It's 1-1. Celtics got one win. Miami's got one win.
Yeah.
All right. It's not about, I don't think it's about, trying to climb over or trying to get over that hump. It's not, this isn't the Pistons and Bulls. This isn't LeBron against.
It isn't one of those things where it's like, oh, we have to believe that we can. What I mean? Like, we have to beat the Heat so we can believe that we can be champion.
Yeah,
like,
this isn't LeBron against the Celtics because LeBron couldn't beat the Celtics early on in his career. He had to go to South Beach to make that happen, and
he sure did.
Yeah, and it barely happened. I mean, the first time it happened. Rondo got his shit dislocated, but that's a whole different story. I'm talking about when he won.
He lost in the finals.
That's what I'm saying. When he won his first championship. Like the Celtics, the LeBron barely got by the Celtics.
Right.
So this is one of those situations when it comes to like the Celtics, they need this. They need to get the monkey off their back. No, they've already beaten Miami. All right. And if you want me to take it even further, they've beaten Milwaukee more than once, several times. That's not, I won't even mention Philadelphia because Philadelphia has been getting their asses smacked by the Celtics at least for over the past 6 years.
Yeah, but what about Embiid being back? You think that makes
a difference? That doesn't make a difference.
I'll say this much. It makes a difference in terms of who they play in the first round because I know Philly right now is technically in that space, even though they just leapfrogged, the Miami Heat for the seventh seed and Miami's currently in 8. They have the lightest schedule. coming up, man. So I think because of that, it helps. And having Embiid back, man, dude hasn't missed a step. And I'm not saying that's going to always translate in the best of seven series, because I just think the Celtics just have them. They're just outmatched against the Celtics regardless. So I don't even think they want to face Boston.
But that's my point, though.
But it's worth noting that the combination of having Embiid back, an effective Embiid, right, regardless if he's not 100%, and a light schedule, I think takes them out of the mix in terms of like a potential first round matchup.
I mean, it does for what those factors that you just brought up, but the Celtics, they've never been worried about Philadelphia in this Tatum Brown era.
That's true.
They've never been worried about Philadelphia. Embiid can get his. He can get his, 40, 50. He's scored 70 this year. And it's not going to matter.
Yeah.
It's not going to matter. It's not always going to translate to wins in the playoffs. And I'm not saying that, Embiid is trash in the playoffs. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying
he's pretty dominant last year.
I'm saying that, like, when it comes to the Celtics and the Sixers in a seven-game series with Joel Embiid as your main scorer, or as everything that goes through him, the Celtics already know how to. They figured that out already. Right. They figured that out a long time ago.
Right.
And then you got a team like the Hawks. Oh, the Celtics, they could have trouble with the Hawks. Bring them. Yeah, Trey just started warming up, started practicing again. Great. Awesome. I actually think they play better without him, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's a different, they can.
Murray's different when he's not there.
Different, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he took 44 shots to make 40, to reach 44 points against the Celtics one time, but I don't think that's going to be the case in a seven game series.
Yeah.
On a consistent basis. Oh, but what about Indiana? Indiana, since Halliburton's injury, they've gone the other direction. They're not the same team right now.
Yeah, after the All-Star break, man, it's been tough.
Yeah, they're not the same team right now. So we're talking about, potential first-round matchups. I think the Bulls might be in that mix as well.
Yeah.
Wow. Come on, it's the Bulls. Yeah. And don't – I mean, I was on record last year when the Celtics were going to play the Hawks in the first round. And I was like, oh, that's going to be a sweep. And then even when the Celtics met up with the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals, I was like, five games at best. Mm. I think the Celtics have the Heat's number this year. They're they're constantly reminded about last year, whether it's through the media or just in their own heads. Like, no, this can't be a problem. Jimmy's not the same guy he was a year ago.
Right.
For whatever reason. Injuries, I know he had a death in the family. He's doing other personal stuff and things like that. That team has been held together, in my opinion. When we talk about our top 25 lists, go revisit that if you guys haven't heard those episodes. But Bam has been the one that's been keeping that team together. Rozier is a great addition, but Rozier hasn't been in the playoffs since 2019, if I'm not mistaken. So that's my little, whatever you want to call this when it comes to the Eastern Conference and the Celtics and a little bit of the West.
You'll recap?
Yeah, that's where we're at. That's where we're at right now. And it's not to say that we're bored. No, it's not that, because there's so many things that could happen between now and the end of the season. Plus you got the play-in and, that happens right after the season ends. So the Celtics will have some time off. They'll have time off to see who they potentially could meet in the first round. But I don't think the Celtics, if they are who I think they are, they're worried about whoever's going to come out as their first round opponent and then going forward.
Yeah. That's the kind of confidence they have for sure, man. Like, that's what I feel like championship caliber teams have going into the season, or going into the playoffs, rather. Like, I feel like it's already built in. Whereas other teams might have to strike, lightning in a bottle or whatever. To get that momentum, but that doesn't always translate to a championship though, right? Look at the Miami Heat last year. That's a great example of a team that got hot and then they rode the wave all the way to the NBA finals. But
how many years can you pull that off?
They didn't pull it off.
Flipping that switch like that perennial switch.
Right.
Every year. And you don't really make big improvements to your roster. In this case, it's Rozier versus having Lowry.
Yeah. Well, in the Celtics' case, I love this for them because it's a matter of don't forget about what happened last year, but at the same time, you had that cushion where you could rest guys. And no, I'm not course, the guy who's like, oh, sit. Everyone has to, you know, rest up all the starters. I don't want to see this and that. I mean, I take it as these next four games. All right. Who's playing? Who's not? You know what I mean? Maybe and two or three guys or whatever. But I talked about this from the top. Like what Porzingis is doing right now, I think is so relevant. And I think it's something that you have to build off of because remember, you know, the injury and remember how many games he missed and just where he's at in his career. Like, he's never had an opportunity like this. Mm-mm. And it's so ideal when you look at the way things are built where he's equally as important on both ends of the floor, but he's not pressured with being quote unquote the guy. You know what I mean? And I think that's helped him create this nice, he's so comfortable in this space where he's not only able to thrive, but everything is coming together so nicely. You know what I mean? Like like it took some time to adapt to the defensive schemes because he's so important, right? So he has so much on his plate. And I'm not saying that he was struggling with it before, but it's just encouraging for someone like that to come back from an injury. And I'm just hoping that he can just get back to where he was at. You ask me, since he's been back, he's taken it up a notch, which is like,
and he even said he can incredible. Even take it up. He can take it up even further.
Right. Which he wants to save for the playoffs. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I thought you were just going to take it up a notch in a week or so, you know what I mean? Or, you know, in the playoffs. But if you're doing this now, like, look out, man. And I just think that's something that we'll be talking about, 2-3 weeks from now, being like, oh, we saw this coming because look what he was doing at the end of the season.
Yo, he's not even the guy on offense. He's not even the guy on defense either. Mm-hmm. He's not. If you're paying attention.
Right.
He has his moments.
Man's averaging like 3 blocks in the last 4 games, man. Like, you got, like, points are up, rebounds are up. Like, it's just across the board, you know?
And he's not even the guy. 20's the conference player of the week without being the guy.
Yeah. Yeah, man, it's incredible stuff, man. But, you know, we still got some basketball left. I like this whole, like, experimenting in the fourth quarter. Probably going to extend to the second half at some point. You know?
And the fact that Joe could sit, guys. He could. If he wanted to, he could.
Oh, you mean like rule him out?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Like rule out guys. He could if he wanted to. But it's easy, especially for this. That's another thing. Going back to the 08, comparing the 08 team to this team. I think it's easier for this generation to get bored.
Yeah.
And I think that's the last thing Joe wants.
Yeah, that's a great point. So. Yeah.
It's that.
Especially when you've been through consecutive deep playoff runs and stuff. Like, Porzingis doesn't look bored at all. But no. Some of these guys do. So, yeah, that makes sense. And let's face it. I mean, going down 3-0, I think that just has this, like, ripple effect where it's just like, don't take anything for granted. You know, pay attention to what's in front of you don't look ahead. And I think there's a lot of that throughout this team.
For some of these guys, too, that have been, like, in and out of the lineup, you know, over the last, like, month, Drew Holiday, Derek White even, and Jaylen Brown, whether, you know, you're concerned about his wrist injury or not, like, you want those guys to get the reps.
Right.
But it's going to be a good...
Especially White.
It's going to be a good few days off from when the season ends to when the playoffs begin because of the play-in.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Fucking trucks.
And with that, I think it's time to take a trip around the NBA, right? If I'm not mistaken. I mean, we're not looking ahead. No, Sean Deutch here. We kind of looked ahead a bit.
We got the, you know, if you want to talk about like the last four games as like key matchups, we talked about the Bucks.
Yeah, that's about it.
And then you got the Knicks. That's about it after that, right?
The Knicks at home. But the Knicks aren't the same Knicks anymore, man.
No, man. No Randall. No OG.
Out for the year. It looks like OG might be the same.
Speaking of, you know, teams with their best players having them, you know, all be healthy. After the OG trade with OG, Randall, and Brunson, you know how many games they only played together?
Those first 2 weeks when they went off?
Something like that.
It's like 7 games, 8 games?
No, it was more than that. It was
So more than 2 weeks.
Yeah. It was like 12 games. And they went like 11-1 in those games.
Jeez, man.
Yeah. So
future's still bright, but
it is.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough because of the, you know, the teams that are in front of the Knicks, mainly the Celtics, obviously.
Right.
But you got the Bucks, you got Cleveland that's in the mix. So, yeah.
All right, let's make our trip around the NBA. let's wrap up this show the way we wrap up every single show here on Causeway Street. We take our trip around the NBA with Joel's In Case You Missed It.
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 Joel, what we miss?
In case you missed it, Vince Carter and Chauncey Billups, they're going to headline this year's Basketball Hall of Fame class of 2024.
Yes, sir. My childhood.
Much to- Oh, man. Yeah.
Growing up, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, kids, you know, you think back to when you used to watch these players as kids, and now you see them go into the hall. That's it. That's about. That's about it.
That's
about it.
Yeah, so. Yeah, yeah. So they're.
It's remarkable.
Those.
I sound like an old man.
It's such a word. Such a word. Such an old person word.
I know, right?
It's remarkable.
And I sound like an old man. As it's if remarkable. Like, as if it's, like I've seen them.
Hey. Outstanding.
I saw when they first started playing when they were kids. Like, it sounds ridiculous.
I saw them in middle school.
Yeah, right.
You know, I always knew they were going to be, you know, turn into the guys that they were. You know? Yeah, no, these two are leading.
Meanwhile, that same guy when the kid was in middle school. What do you think? You're going to be an NBA star or something? But they don't remember that part.
Pass the ball.
Yeah, right. Pass the ball.
Yeah. No, these two are leading 13 inductees for this year's class.
13? I thought there was more.
No, it's 13. It's 13 altogether.
Okay, yeah, because sometimes they break it down with players, coaches, and all that. Okay,
yeah, it's 13 altogether. Other than Billups and Carter, you got Michael Cooper finally getting in. That's long overdue. No? You don't think so?
It's not the call. It's about podcast things.
Well, I mean.
Stay tuned for that episode.
No, any Laker, he's just like, no, it's going to be in there. That goes without saying.
You think he's been an all-star? You think he was an all-star before?
Who? Cooper?
Yeah.
Oh, that he should have been a Hall of Famer?
No, I'm saying, like, do you think, how many all-star games do you think he's made?
I think he's made zero.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're okay with that? He made as many all-star games as we made. We're not in the Hall.
But he was, you don't think he was instrumental in the, in the
Lakers? I don't know, bro. Was you watching? I wasn't fucking watching that shit. No, you're just because the name is so synonymous with Lakers and all that era and all that, but I don't know. I mean,
all right, you want me to be honest? I'll be honest with you.
What?
The finalist for this year wasn't great.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, man. So, I feel like it's like
if there was a moment,
they have to have, like, why can't they just have five? Like, you know what I mean? Like, do they have to have that? If there was a moment, every year?
Yeah, if there was a year that someone like Michael Cooper or even Chauncey would get in, it was this year.
Oh, you're saying Chauncey's bubble?
I'm not saying.
Wow.
Chauncey, look.
Look at this.
Chauncey's been retired for what? Over a decade now.
Yeah, he's in the first ballot, right?
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Like, if it was hard for him to get in, like, and then you look at the rest of this list.
Yeah.
I'm going to read some of this list to you.
Well, to Cooper's credit, too, for people who don't know or people who are probably screaming at the podcast right now, he did make, all defensive team at least seven times, I believe, or eight. Okay. And he was, defensive player of the year once. So I don't know. Sounds like he was kind of like the, Ben Walls of his time, if you will.
Well, I mean,
just from a guard standpoint.
You look at Chauncey. How long did it take for Chauncey to make his first All-Star team? It was NBA like Finals. Years. Yeah, right. He was Finals MVP before he became an All-Star.
Yeah. He made three, right? Three or four, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. Maybe five.
I just look at the criteria, man. Like, nowadays, it just seems like part of it's a popularity contest. Part of it is like, you know, oh, this guy's paid his dues. He's been on the ballot for.
That's what I'm saying. Like, a lot of these, you know, this is Vince.
You guys are toying with his emotions. Yeah. Throw him in
there. Yeah, see,
like,
Vince.
I feel like it's some of that as well.
Vince, because I believe he's played the most, right? 22 seasons. No one's played more than that.
Yeah, man. My dude just retired.
All right. Yeah.
like, remember for the ball, pretty much the COVID, forces retirement.
Yeah. And like, I mean,
he was not planning on, I mean, maybe he was planning on finishing that season. It was abrupt because obviously no one anticipated that.
And I know this accolade is Dutra's favorite accolade. He's played, you know, in four different decades. Wait, he's been playing since he was like 10 years old? Wait, what?
That's the funniest shit.
Shout out to you, Tuchuk. We love you, bro. Wait, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I'm nodding my head and I just like stopped immediately. Like four seconds in, I'm just like, that math is not math. I was like, wait a minute. Even back then when people weren't even saying that, I was like, wait.
Like when he was
like, so he's been in the league since he was 10?
Bro,
like,
bro, when he elected to play one more season, that's when they were like, oh, he will be the first player to play in four different decades. And I was, you know, I remember saying that, like, yo, that's dope. And I remember Juju going,
hold on a second.
Hold up. I call bullshit on this.
Like, bro, that doesn't mean he played 40 years, bro. It means he's played ball at some point throughout the last four decades.
And it's funny because, like,
end of the 90s, 20s, like, imagine, I mean, 2000s, 2010s, and a little bit of the 2020s.
Yeah, because imagine if they that 99 season was completely, like, you know, locked out. Like, yeah, there was no basketball.
That was Paul. He was both of them. That was the rookie year. Yeah,
and I will still take this to the grave. Paul should have won Rookie of the Year over Vince Carter.
Agreed. Okay. But on that same token, if someone would have told me that he was going to go on and play 20+ years and then Paul's going to retire, I would have been like, that's not going to fucking happen. You know what I mean? Because he's a high flyer. He dunks. And I don't know, but
we know why.
Again, though, looking back on it, or I shouldn't say again, but just saying, it's all about the way you were able to transition to your later years, if you will.
But we know why your
NBA elderly years, if you will.
We know why Pierce retired. It was Doc Rivers' fault. Okay.
Well, he wasn't going to.
He was playing Wesley
Johnson.
He wasn't
going to play for the Hawks. He wasn't going to be one of those, like, oh, you know, help this rebuilding team.
Oh, no, no, of course not.
Yeah.
No, of course not.
But there was that too. But I hear what you're saying, because he had him sitting at the end of the bench that whole time, pretty much. Yeah. Man. Or at least the last two seasons.
He's like, yo, I could have stayed for Washington if this was the case. You know what I'm saying?
And the famous words of Paul Pierce, he said, man, it's one thing if you got guys in front of you who you say, man, I respect that. He's on his way. But when you backing up Mamute
and Wesley Johnson.
Paul looking around like,
he's like, I think it's time to
what's
call
going on, man?
All right.
What's going on?
I didn't sign up for this. I didn't sign up for this, Doc.
Man, Paul used to chew his gum angrily on that bench. I remember that shit. Staring off into space.
Yeah. So yeah. Charles Smith. Remember Charles Smith?
Yo, is he getting as a coach or some other shit?
No, he's in there as a player, bro.
Yo, Max lost his shit when he fucking he goes, the guy for the Knicks? I go, I don't know any Knicks. Other Charles Smith, bro. But...
And the Spurs.
What did this motherfucker do, man? Pull up his stats right now.
You mean, we're doing this. Stats?
We're going to do a deep dive. All
right, I'll read a couple of names. I'll let you do that. All right, so those are the some of the players here for me when it comes to, according to what I'm reading off of, the North American
I'm typing
committee.
In Charles Smith and Charles Schwab. Just
of course it did. Now, when we're talking about, like, the contributors committee, Doug Collins, Jerry West are some names that are going into the hall that way. The only female going in there, Simone Augustus.
Nah, son, yeah, why's Charles Smith going in this though?
All right. So give me the tea. Give me the bad news. I'm telling you, man, there's always a Hall of Fame, a Hall of Fame year here and there where you're just like, really? Like, these people are going to the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, but when did they start letting in people who have never made an All-Star team? Like, I don't, that's the part I missed the memo on.
Well, this is the Basketball Hall of Fame, so it could go to his college.
He could have. Oh, no, you know, that's a really good point. Okay. Yeah. Maybe I shouldn't say that because I know plenty of cases that are like that. Or even people who played overseas, you know, like Dino Raja got in, they had an extensive career overseas before coming to the NBA.
It's not the NBA.
You know, it was short lived. Right. But I guess what I'm trying to say is for players who, you know, for the majority of their career were a mainstay in the NBA, but they didn't get the accolades or they didn't make the All-Star teams. Like, it just confused me. I mean, maybe I shouldn't say accolades because, Coop, with all those defensive, all NBA defense, I mean, that's gotta be what was the breaking point, right?
Yeah.
But with this dude, with the...
Charlie?
With Charles Daniel Smith over here? I don't see it, Joel. I don't see it, man. Like, there's zero All-Star games. Mm-hmm. I'm not seeing any accolades. 14.4 points.
Now, I got a question.
5.8 rebounds and 1.4 blocks. Those are his numbers, man.
I got a question that
No rings, if you're asking. No
maybe
rings.
Maybe it's not the same as they do in baseball. You know, in baseball, you have up into a certain amount of when you're just like, all right, you're taking off.
Yeah.
Is that the case with basketball? Because if that's – I don't think it is the case because
– I don't think so. I think
Charles Smith
– I think it's unlimited.
Charles Smith has been retired for like 20-some years.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, look at Michael Cooper. Michael Cooper's been retired for like 30-some years, right? If I'm not mistaken. So
man's got a podcast. he's well removed from the NBA.
so maybe there's, you know, it's just one of those years that's just like, all right, nobody other than Vince Carter, who's retired recently, that we're talking about going into the Hall of Fame.
Joe, the NBA keeps doing this, man. They're going to make a case for Max.
Well, I mean, look at.
I'm saying, if that's what we're doing,
then that's why Max is upset because Max is.
Well, no shit. But the point is, he's got a legit gripe this time. You know what I mean?
But it's not like he'll never make it. He'll probably make it. He might not be.
Joel.
He might not be here anymore.
Why do you think he's a. That would be awful. Why do you think there's a gripe?
I said might.
Why do you think there's a gripe?
Because
he's under the impression he'll never make it. Man. So he was like, how are these guys making it? And I don't even think he wants to entertain himself with the idea that he could possibly get in there. So I think he's just like, it's one of those things where it's like, you're in what's that old show? When things don't make sense.
When things don't make sense.
That show they always say, Twilight Zone. So it was like, he's in the Twilight Zone where it's just like, I don't even have a shot, but how are these people making it?
Yeah.
I got two rings. I'm a finals MVP.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I wasn't just, like he likes to say, I wasn't just riding the coattails. I was driving the bus.
Mm.
Hey, I'm going to put y'all on my back. We're going to go to the promised land. Larry Bird was on that team when he won the NBA Finals MVP.
Well, then I will leave this in your hands, brother.
Well, I got to vote now?
No. No. You got to put that nugget into people's heads after every episode, y'all do.
Oh man, yo! After this Cooper thing, man, I've been doing my research. And I'm just like, yo, like this is
just like put it out there in the air.
He's got a shot here, man.
Yeah, put it out there.
And if not, he gets in as a broadcaster, man. 20+ years, man.
But yeah, he's got a couple of ways he can get in. You're right. Yeah, you're right. So yeah.
Coop out to open the floodgates.
Here we are. It's not shout the to most. Coop. This ain't the most sexiest. This is not even the most, like, you know. And then the night when the lights come on at the club, you know, when it comes to the Hall of Fame, you know, class of 2024.
Let me ask you this. Are stars diminishing, so to speak? Is that what's going on here?
You know what's crazy? I feel like when they...
Oh, they're short-lived?
When they did the... They changed the eligibility from 6 years to 3 years, they put in a bunch of people after that.
Yeah.
And now they're just like, oh, wait, Vince, that's the highlight. Not to take anything away from Vince.
Right.
You know, but.
Well, nowadays that's huge because I think the last time we had a class like that, that had a player like that, one of the more influential inductees, right?
Talking about Vince?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, Pierce was after Garnett, right? Or was it vice versa?
Well, yeah, Pierce after Garnett.
Pierce after Garnett.
That's another reason why
Pierce. That's probably the last class.
One more year because he didn't want to. He thought he wasn't going to have a shot to get in because KG had just retired, Kobe has retired, Duncan had just retired. So he was like, I'm trying to be one of the headliners here.
I'm dying because that summer he put out that whole thing where you're like last season, like he made an announcement. Yeah. But yeah, no, I just think when you look back on it. It's one of those things where you're just like,
and damn it, Draymond Green.
Are these stars being short lived? Or is it a matter of like, you know, the longevity is just players just aren't staying around as much as they used to. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's interesting because
it could be a combination of both because some of these players just fizzle out.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then all of a sudden you 20, 25, almost 30 years later, Charles Smith, and you go, Charles Smith from the Knicks? Like, okay. All right. So there is a shot.
These stats are crazy.
I know.
I'm hoping Basketball Reference just like has a tab that I'm not hitting yet, but I'm like, this motherfucker could get a,
all right. So let me ask you this then.
Did he get the assist leading award or something? Something in this motherfucker.
Yeah. Does Chauncey make it this year if he doesn't win a championship?
No.
Yeah.
Well, the Finals MVP go hand in hand. So no.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe it's just like one of those things, one of those little, minor details.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, but no, but you know,
still don't explain Charles.
But that's what I'm gonna. That's your homework for the next year, Sway. Put that into the air every episode. Yo, hey, Cedric Maxwell should be in the Hall of Fame. You should introduce him like that. And my co-host Cedric Maxwell, who should be in the Hall of Fame. Cedric, who should be in the Hall of Fame. Maxwell, bam. All the guests that you guys get, they'll probably be like, yo, we gotta fix this.
Throw it out there.
Yeah. I'm telling you. He'll get in as a player first, though. And then he'll probably get in as a broadcaster after. He'll be in there twice, I think. I feel like. So, yeah.
All right. What else we missed?
In case you missed it, we were talking about Philly a little earlier in the episode. And the NBA announced this week that they're fining the 76ers $100,000 for violating the league injury reporting rules.
Oh, boy.
Sixers failed to accurately disclose the game availability status of guess who?
Embiid.
Joel Embiid prior to their
like Paul Reed.
Prior to their game against the Oklahoma City Thunder back on April 2nd, Embiid was just listed as out in the Philadelphia's initial report, and then the dude played.
And then he played.
So the fine takes into account that the 76ers
The Sixers are liars.
Yeah, history takes into account their prior history of fines for violating injury reporting rules, or like Sway says, they are prior liars. So there's that.
This confirms the fact that they lie.
They are a bunch of liars. So there's that. You know? In case you missed it, congrats to Jaylen Brown, who reached 10,000 career points.
10 stacks.
Past weekend. And he joins a very prestigious club when it comes to this particular accolade. Because other than the 10,000 points, he also has 2,500 rebounds. He has 500 steals, and he has 1,000 made 3-pointers. Well, by the way, he's climbing up the list when it comes to the Celtics, 3-point list.
Yo, everyone is.
But
they take so many of them.
Yeah, it's very true. Especially over the last 3-4 years. So by accomplishing this, four categories by the age of 27. Brown, along with Jason Tatum, has also accomplished this by this. Well, he just turned 26, so obviously it was before the age of 27. So only two other players have made this list, and their names are Kevin Durant and James Harden.
Wow!
Accomplished all that what I mentioned: 10,000 points, 2,500 rebounds, 500 steals, and 1,000 made 3-pointers by the age of 27. That's it. Just those four players. So I think that's a pretty cool list to be on.
Yeah, man, absolutely. That's impressive, especially when you're not, quote-unquote, the focal point of the offense, right?
Yeah.
The number one guy.
Very true.
I mean, throughout their career, respectively, between Durant and Harden, that wasn't always the case.
Mm-hmm.
But the majority of the time, it was. So, yeah, man, it's pretty cool. It really is, man, especially when you look at the kind of year Jalen's had, where I've been saying this all year, I just feel like he's really come out of his shell. You know what I mean? I feel like he's really shown
definitely
more of his personality. He's smiling a lot more. I mean, getting the bag as the richest NBA player in the league, that helps. It does. But, man, he's backed it up. You know, I think that's the part where people can't really deny that. Essentially, from the beginning of the season, talking about being a focal point or being the mainstay and stepping up his game defensively. And he's done that for sure. And I don't expect that to change in the postseason. I think a lot of the times he's often assigned with defending the best player on those teams, right?
Yep.
And then to still have, I don't even want to say energy, but still have the focus to be so effective on offense and in attack mode constantly, especially in transition. And clearly he's been working on his left, which is obviously a talking point throughout the offseason after what happened in game 7 against the Heat. So there's a lot of things I feel like there's a lot with Jaylen that I feel like have come together so perfectly this season for him. And I'm happy for him, man. I really am, because it wasn't always as easy. You know, it was tough when you look.
Oh, hell no.
When you look throughout this dude's career, man, there were times where I was wondering, man, like if it was inevitable, if he was going to be able to stick around. Not because, you know, there wasn't a place for him here, but it was just like, man, whether you want to call it sacrificing, whether you want to call it paying your dues, man, Jaylen has done it. You can look back to Gordon Hayward coming back from an injury and he lost his starting spot and just having to sort of like wait his turn, like while dealing with someone who wasn't always the easiest guy to deal with, and Kyrie Irving. And I just felt like they didn't have the greatest relationship in the beginning. And then we found out that that was the case. And, you know, like, there's just a lot with Jaylen that I feel like people were kind of like looked at him as a question mark. But I just think like it was always a matter of just him finding his own way. And I was never necessarily concerned or worried about if that was going to happen. I just always, like many of us, right, wondered if that was ever going to overlap Tatum's, I don't want to say his ascension, because I don't think that would have ever, I don't think either one of them really prevent the other one from being great. I just think the narrative surrounding the team and its leadership, I never wanted to get to a point where Jaylen felt like he wasn't, you know, that guy, or you know, Tatum was mountains above him, because I don't think that's necessarily the case, you know. And this year, people can easily say that it's not, you know, it really, there isn't a significant gap between these two.
No, hell no. And the fact that, yeah, those things that you mentioned, like, there's no other, there's no one that's had to sacrifice more than Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
There's no one that's had to adjust more than Jaylen Brown. Like, from Avery Bradley getting traded, like, oh, you're going to be the starter, to Gordon Hayward coming to the team, like, oh, now you're coming off the bench. Mm-hmm. To,
we need to get Gordon going.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. To, right. You know, yeah, you're gonna have the ball less. So,
well, to essentially still, not you're knowing,
find your numbers.
He didn't know what his role was. Yeah. He's like, "Yo, what do you? What am I here for? Like, am I still a question mark?" I think that's what it was at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, the extension is incredible because of, you know, how historic it is, and no one, it's the richest contract ever. But it also tells you, hey, you belong here, and we want you here, and you're a part of our future, and you're a big part of that, because damn it, we've never even drafted up a contract like this.
Well, I mean, and when, they, like, when the contract actually kicks in next season,
right,
he's gonna be even better. I feel like so.
I mean, he's earned it for sure.
Definitely. You know who else has earned
$300 million?
No, who else has earned a spot on the Celtics roster that we've been talking about for this whole episode? Kata got that 15th roster spot. Got signed to a standard NBA contract.
Hell yeah.
I mean, it's not a surprise, right? Honestly, like,
No.
Like, we were talking about, like, you know, the Celtics were, oh, they might look into the buyout market. It's like, no, like, no. They've always had this guy. I think had they made his two-way into a standard contract earlier, maybe he's not still working hard. Maybe he's like, I'm just going to relax now. I'm good.
Right.
But, you know, the Celtics are.
They certainly kept them on his toes.
Yeah, no, but the Celtics are definitely, you know, ready for this, I feel like, for this playoff run, and they're set on every position or every, you know, when it comes to their depth, right?
Yeah. They just signed their fifth center. There
of course. Yeah. So, and congrats to not just, you know, Kata, but the G League, you know, main Celtics who are going to the fucking, you know, the finals in the G League. And they're Eastern Conference champions right now. So if that's not a, you know, foreshadowing on what could potentially happen, you know, in Boston. So
it's actually a pattern. Like, this has happened before, where a team, like the G League team, wins it all, and then the other team wins.
It's crazy.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm just
kidding. Someone to do the Dujic thing. I get it.
I feel like you're looking at me like, I'm like, are you lying or not? Uh-huh, like, is this uh-huh. like, uh-huh. No, you were trying to study my poker face.
I'm like, you don't say.
I was going to make a random example of being like, but I don't even know what they're called. You know, the Warriors back in 2016, they won, or whatever, 2015 or whatever. But no, it's the first time they've ever reached
the finals. San Bernardino Warriors, you know.
It was their second appearance in the Eastern Conference Finals, but their first in the finals. So good luck to Maine. Best of three.
The fuck is this? The WNBA?
Nah, man. It's the G League.
All right. Best of three?
It's one game elimination all the way before that. So
yeah, I figured, because that was pretty quick.
Yeah, I know.
That was pretty quick.
You know, nobody wants to, you know how business goes. They're like, we don't need no first round series.
No, like this shit has to be done by the time the play-in starts, guys.
Yeah, right.
All
right.
So, yeah.
The Celtics need their two-way guy. All right.
Yeah.
He just got signed. But if you guys are wondering, yes, he will play. He can still play in these playoffs. Or he can still play in the championship, rather. Along with Jordan Walsh, has been balling. And, that Wiz Khalifa looking dude.
JD Davidson?
JD Davidson.
Black and yellow, black. Yes, yes. That guy.
Young Khalifa. He looks like a young Khalifa, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So Keita
to be an ad lib.
Keita in the G League, he's been averaging 14.4 points a game, 8.8 rebounds, 3.3 assists.
That guy's a stud.
And just under 2 blocks a game. And I thought this was interesting. He's only played 8 games in Maine. And yeah. I thought that, yeah, okay, cool.
He spent a lot of time with the Celtics, so that's good.
No, I know, but I know he only had, before he signed his new deal, he only had a certain amount of games that he could play for the Celtics.
Yeah, 2-way contract.
With the main, yeah. You know, with the main roster, not the main Celtics.
Well, they certainly maxed that out,
that fucking play on word, sorry.
I thought that they did a good job of, or rather, Keita did a great job of, making the most of his opportunity.
That
matchup against the Clippers, I think it was, they're on the road right before Christmas.
I was just about to mention that. 14 points.
Yeah, man.
12 rebounds. And the Celtics won 145-108 out there in LA.
He just looked so comfortable out there. Yeah. He was just focused. So that was, that certainly put him on the radar for sure.
Yeah, the Clippers definitely got their got back on that one. But anyways,
that's
besides the point. With 26 games that he's played with the Boston Celtics, he's averaging nearly 5 points a game, 4 rebounds, just under a block, like, and in 11 minutes. Like,
yeah.
If anything, I'm not saying that, like, he's just 5 fouls that you can put in there, but are you going to Luke or are you going to Keita and depending on matchups, right?
Yeah.
And against like the Heat, for example, right? Right. Or the Cavaliers, if you see the Cavaliers in a late game, you know, or a close game or whatever, just like, you know, just throw him in there and just to throw everybody off a little bit. Like, oh shit. Like, you know,
yeah.
But I don't know. Good for him though. I think his hard work has not gone unnoticed.
Yeah, man. Good for him. And let's face it. That's a nice little chunk of change going into the off season. So good for him, man.
And, you know, that could lead to signing for a longer deal, at good money.
Yeah.
So, you know, we shall see what happens going forward. And last but not least, in my last segment of In Case You Missed It, which is all Celtics related, congrats to Rajon Rondo, who the news outlets are saying like he officially called it quits. But you know,
was just shooting the shit.
I listened to the episode of All the Smoke, and yeah. You know, they asked him like, "Yo, are you done?" He was just like, "Yeah, I'm done." It wasn't like, "Yeah, I officially put my paperwork in." Right. Like, he's just. Yeah, he's
Associated Press was just like, Rajon Rondo says that.
Exactly. Like, oh, that, like,
soon that episode came out. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, some players kind of do that. You know, they'll go on social media and say, you know, I'm officially calling it, you know, career.
Yeah.
He just was shooting the shit, like you said. And they asked him a question and he was like, yeah, no, I'm done. You know, he didn't play obviously all of this season. The last time he played was the 2021-22 season, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So, there's people out there just like, oh, I didn't realize he was still playing. No, he hadn't been playing.
He
just didn't say like, I'm done.
Right. And then he just like got his flowers that entire week after he was on that podcast.
Oh yeah.
And rightfully so, man. I'm happy for him, especially because he was in Boston, shortly after that. And, they just put on the big trot. It wasn't even like, hey, congrats or anything. Everyone lost it, man. So that was pretty cool.
We were at that game.
Yeah, Boss was there. That's right.
And like, there was rumblings that he was going to be there, right? Yeah. So you're seeing him there behind one of the hoop. He's kind of like incognito. And then when they finally put him on the Jumbotron, everyone was just like, yo. So for him to, for
he
him
couldn't
to
hold back on that smile.
Yeah, of I course. That, he was yeah. like, you know, he pounds his chest like, yo, like, I appreciate the love. And for this to come out like, you know, a week or so after that, it's dope. You know what I'm saying? Cause he's been around the team, probably for the first time since he's left Boston, right? Seeing how, you know, getting invited essentially from, the Celtics coaching staff to be like, yo, come talk to these dudes or come see what we're doing.
Yeah. And that's a big part of what Joe Mazzulla's been trying to do this season. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. For Pierce to be like, yo, you got to come through. And he's like, all right, I'm there. And he finally see him at a game. It's dope.
Yeah.
It's dope. You know, 4-time all-star, 3-time assist champ, 2-time champion overall with the Celtics and Lakers, ironically, 4-time all defense. Like, yo, we're talking about Hall of Famers. He's definitely a Hall of Famer.
I think so. But this is one of those things, man, where
I think he gets in there sooner than Billups did.
Well, no, I mean, what I was going to say is, it's one of those things where it's not about necessarily, the stats and all that. I just think it's more about the accolades, the championships.
Impact.
and the impact for the most part, man. Rajon is like the last of a dying breed, man. They don't make point guards like Rajon now. And because of what's going on now, I think that helps his case because people will look back and say, man, like that was a true pass first point guard, and a wizard at that, right? Like, man,
you see it before anybody else did.
Right. And he was thinking two steps ahead. And it was one of those things where it was just like, he would put on a show. And didn't have to score at the end of those plays for people to realize how special it was. And I just think that's really hard to find in today's NBA where...
Impact the game without scoring,
The last, like, 15 years, 15, 20 years has been such an influx, or at least the last 15 especially. It's been more of this influx of score-first point guards, beat you off the dribble, or, you know, the Steph Curry influence that's been going on since the mid 2010s, you know what I mean? Where you got guys like the Trae Youngs and the, I mean, whether it's the score first point guards.
Kyrie, I guess you could
put right. Well, I was going to say, whether you're one of the score first point guards that'll beat you off the dribble and cross you up and, you know, think about that before passing, or you're one of those pull up. I don't care if there's, you know, if I got a layup in front of me, I'm making this three because Steph Curry's influenced my game. Like, you go in either one direction, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There's so much more pressure on the point guard to be a solidified scorer than a distributor. You know what I mean? Like, the two have to go hand in hand. But if you're not a bona fide, like, scorer who can score multiple ways, it's a really hard time for you to stick around in the NBA or at least have a starting job. Like, let's face it. If you ask me, I think that's the hardest position to break.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To break through in the NBA. Yeah. Like, that's why a lot of these guys are playing overseas. Maybe they get like 4 or 5 years in the league or six or whatever. You know, maybe they're coming off the bench for a squad and all of a sudden you're bumped out. I mean, there's a whole new class of guards year after year trying to take your spot. So I just think, Rajon's one of those guys that, you know, if you know, you know, like it was a special era, you know, Rondo was doing his thing.
Yeah.
And that's an era that to me extends from like 08 through, I don't know, essentially what happened in the bubble. I know he kind of had a little rust, you know what I mean? It wasn't necessarily like the same 2012 Rondo or 11 when he was making all-star teams year after year. But I just feel like he never lost that flair, like in terms of like finding guys, knowing what the team needed, you know, executing a game plan to a high level, to being a borderline player coach out there. Now, this is the part of this equation I want to ask you about, because I think this is where we talk about that quote unquote popularity category that I feel like every single Hall of Famer has to be evaluated through. That 6-year, 7-year span where it was like every year he had a different jersey on. Does that hurt him? You know what I mean? Like it was one of those things where teams didn't trust Rondo enough to ink him to a multi-year deal. It was like, okay, let's see what you got. And then, you know, outside of the Sacramento Kings and the Lakers, you never spent more than 2 years anywhere else besides Boston, you know? And I don't know if that's something that would hurt him, but hopefully it's not the case. But I think impact, the championships, you know, 3-time assist leader, I think that should be enough.
Yeah, I don't think it hurts him because he didn't spend, you know, 4 or 5 years in Boston. He spent 9 years
in Boston. That helps him, right? Yeah.
So he was a staple. He was, you know, some people call it the big four instead of the big three.
Well, remember that year, the four of them went to the All-Star.
Oh, hell yeah. I don't forget that at all.
Right.
Like when, you know, the rebuild happens and he's coming back from, you know, his torn ACL and he was given the title of captain. I'm like, yo, like now we're going to really get to see if him playing with, you know, future Hall of Famers was the reason why he is, you know, where he had gotten to be, right? Mm-hmm. Where who he had become.
Right.
Right. We didn't really get to see that opportunity here in Boston, but you go to a place like New Orleans, where he's playing with Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins and even Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday would tell you, like, yo, he's one of my favorite, like, teammates ever.
Yo, that was a squad, man.
Right? So they go to
but
playoffs.
But it was short-lived.
You know, you're right. They go to playoffs because they hadn't been in the playoffs, and I don't think.
That was the deepest they ever been, right? Second round? I think they got bounced in the second round.
Yeah, but I think that there was a drought. They hadn't gone to the playoffs. They hadn't been in the postseason in a while.
Yeah.
And
I think they were in New Orleans still.
And they knocked off,
Oklahoma.
They knocked off, Portland, who they were the Portland was the higher seed.
Yeah.
And so then you saw like, oh, it's like this dude, he gets gets nasty in the playoffs. Everyone forgets that. You can't tell me that the Celtics were in danger of losing to the Bulls in that first round in 2016.
Before he got hurt.
Yeah. Right? When they're up 2-0, right?
So you think that would have kept them you think that extends his tenure, whether it's in New Orleans or Chicago?
I don't know if it extends his tenure in Chicago. New Orleans, definitely.
I just don't understand why they gave up so quick.
Like before
New Orleans kind of just like, and I think that was kind of like the final, maybe not the final straw, but that was a huge contributing factor for Anthony Davis being like, all right, it's not going to get better than this, then I'm out of here.
I believe, because he was only signing 1-year deals at that point. I believe that's the first
up to him. The teams I got you.
No, but I think like he got like the biggest offer he had seen in a while going his first tenure with the Lakers.
Yeah.
At that point, right?
It's a 2-year deal.
If I'm,
I thought you meant New Orleans. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. So New Orleans was just like, we wanted to keep him, but we didn't want to go hard with the offering.
Right, right.
And plus, we could just give it to Jrue Holiday in terms of like, we were running point guard duties, right?
Plus, you're not matching contract at that point.
Exactly.
Right? There wasn't like a huge line of teams trying to get Rondo. It was like one of those things where it's like,
I'm pretty sure
when teams have struck out with other guys, then they turn around. Okay, let's get Rondo.
I'm pretty sure if you know, they did offer a good chunk of change. You don't think Rondo wanted to stay in New Orleans? Like, that's a squad there. And we're talking about pre-DeMarcus Cousins getting injured.
Right.
That
right.
essentially, you know,
domination
messed up his career.
Like dominating Cousins.
And
top power fours in the league.
Cousins, and we forget before Russell Westbrook was, you know, averaging triple doubles for like seasons, Rajon Rondo was that guy.
Triple double king.
He was a triple double king. And he could do that at any point in any game.
You remember those Rondo triple doubles?
Ron Timber doubles ridiculous.
Fucking
20 points.
Points or 20, 20 points.
20 assists.
14 rebounds. Yeah. 18, 19 assists.
Like,
light work on a Sunday afternoon. Like, damn, Rondo, that's how
you feel? He was reaching like John Stockton, like record numbers.
Yeah.
You know?
Even Stockton was just like, yo, that dude's pretty good.
Yeah. And right now, when you think about it, outside of him, it's Chris Paul would be the other guy where you're thinking, when you're talking about like, you know, that with assists and right. rebounding and
Rondo's buddy, right?
And being, yeah, they love each other and being a true point guard, right?
I think they used to influence one another. If I'm not mistaken, I think that's what they said.
Yeah. They would trade like, you know, Bible verses, you know, yeah.
You could just always tell they really like each other.
They were so close with each other. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, yeah, I think it gets in. You know, we're talking now that he's officially retired, so we're talking about another 3 years before, you know, he's eligible.
Yeah.
Right. So, I think he'd be eligible soon because I think it's from the very last NBA game he played, right? Whether you're officially retired or not.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That was the change. You know what? I think that's the part that has led to like people, you know what I mean? People getting pushed in, like you mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it was once you made the official announcement, which sometimes was a year later, but nowadays it could be like 2 years because sometimes guys will either go overseas or they'll just wait for the phone to call. You know, how many times you see guys that have like a year and a half gap and all of a sudden, you know, they got a 10-day that's been converted to a standard contract. So yeah, I mean, we'll see. But I mean, I don't think people will be losing any sleep if he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer, but I think eventually he gets in.
He gets in. I don't think it's going to be, you know, a long wait. Look at somebody like Antoine Walker.
It won't be like Michael Cooper.
It won't be Michael Cooper. No, definitely not like Michael Cooper.
Fuck, I wasn't even born when his mother
was. Look at someone like Antoine Walker. Is he Hall of Fame worthy in your opinion?
Max brought him up. It's an interesting one.
Well, yeah. He's another guy who was, he was just on an episode of All the Smoke. You know, Rondo, by the way, signed with All the Smoke Productions, which is under Showtime. So we'll be hearing a lot of Rondo lately.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, soon, I meant to say. But, the last thing I'll say about Rondo is, definitely one of my all-time favorite point guards in general. You know, definitely my favorite Celtics point guard probably ever. You know,
it's not Bob Cousy.
It's not Bob Cousy, unfortunately. No, no.
Damn straight, it's not. It shouldn't be.
No, it's not. It's not him.
Who the hell is watching him play?
don't get the people riled up now. You know,
I wasn't there. Sorry.
Yeah, so, the game now. Yeah, you're right. It's completely changed and probably that position of point guard is just two words. It's not necessarily what the role is for certain players who are, you know, put in that position.
Right.
At that position, I meant to say.
It's like one of those things now where it's like, it's entirely up to what that dude, whatever the fuck he wants to do. Yeah, like, right. He might pass to you. He might not.
He might not.
Get used to his tendencies. Whereas before, it was just like, who you passing the ball to? Who, you know what I mean? Yeah, where it was like, you know?
Yeah, like him, like Rondo always has always said this. I'm an extension of the coach. Mm-hmm. Like I can, like if the coach.
That's not, that doesn't exist now.
Yeah. If like the coach has to sit there all the time, constantly run, throwing out plays, like that's probably one of the
indication that he's not doing a good job.
Yeah. Yeah. That and, you know, look at somebody like Joe Mazzulla, right? What's kind of a knock on him? Like, yo, like run a play.
Yeah. Late game execution. Late game,
yeah. Right. Yeah. Like it doesn't have to always be Tatum, you know, dribble. Like if you had somebody like Rondo, and essentially you kind of do in Holiday, but for whatever reason, sometimes Holiday doesn't always be put in that. He's not put in that situation. You'd be at ease when it comes to these closer games, right? But the game has evolved, and that's what it is. That's how that's what we're dealing with as fans. So yeah, but it's gonna do it for this edition of In Case You Missed It.
It was like 45 minutes long, dude.
Hit us up on all social media platforms at Causeway Street. Hit up causewaystreet.com for your Celtics rumors, news, and opinions. The conversation always continues at the Causeway After Hours. That's patreon.com/causeway. Subscribe for exclusive content. That's whether it's an interview by Joe Sway or just us shooting the shit about whatever we feel like talking about. Just hit up patreon.com/causeway to subscribe and enjoy.
After Hours. That's right.
Our After Hours. So, yeah.
And a subscription can get you a free Celtics jersey of your choosing. So you let us know, man. I want to do one more before the playoffs start. So yeah, absolutely, man.
Playoffs.
For everyone, especially new subscribers, hit us up, man. Patreon.com/causeway. One-on-one with Joe Sway, my exclusive one-on-one podcast. We got, I'm in season 3 right now, but we got all of season 1 and 2 available. And of course, all of season 1 and 2 of Causeway After Hours, man, which is a pretty funny ass podcast. We like, have a good time. Man.
Like people don't realize like this, like we have content back from since the bubble.
2020. Yeah, man.
When there was nothing, there was nothing to talk about basketball wise. So we just have to shoot the shit.
None of this stuff's available anywhere. So it's exclusively here and you unlock the entire vault. It's not one of those things where, you know, you have to, wait a certain amount of time or you have a, you know, hit a certain tier. No, man. There's only one tier on our Patreon, at least, patreon.com/causeway. Yeah, man, that's it. You know, you sign up. And, shit, if you don't like it, you can always quit, right?
Right. I know, right? Ain't nobody holding a gun to your head. Hit us up. Shit. But, you know, try us out. And if you like it, $3. That's all it is.
Absolutely.
That's all it's going to cost you. You know, and also before you know, if you're not already, you know, check out Sway on the Cedric Maxwell podcast.
Yes, sir.
The podcast that he co-hosts.
That one's free.
That one is free. Okay. And you got the Garden Report after every Celtics game.
Absolutely.
Right? Home or away. Sway's also one of the many personalities on that as well.
Right. CLNS Media.
All of us under the YouTube. Same umbrella. CLNS Media. That's the only reason why I'm bringing it up because Causeway has been a part of CLNS for quite some time. So, you know, got to shout out our label mates. So, yeah. So don't forget to check that out as well. As playoffs, obviously around the corner. Our top 25 too, if you haven't peeped that, the last two episodes, episode 333 and 334.
Always a riveting debate.
Always.
Yes, sir, man. Top 25 list. Causeway Street. Get Sean back for next week. But until then, man, we'll see you guys. Hit us up at Causeway Street on Twitter, of course. And yeah, man, until we start previewing the first round of the playoffs, man, should be somewhat of a relaxing time, no? Go on, guys. Everyone just enjoy what you see. Enjoy the fact that the Celtics have this humongous lead at top of the Eastern Conference. And you may not see a team dominate a regular season like this, or a Celtics team, rather, for quite some time. So
watch everybody else scramble, but enjoy the Celtics.
Yeah, exactly. This is fun, guys. Come on.
Yeah. It's okay. It's okay to enjoy. That's always have to be, you know, critical of everything.
Right.
All right.
Absolutely. We'll see you guys next week.
Later.